Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I wanted to go back to Corinthians 9, but I said, let me start with this today. This is where I feel led to go today, and then come back to it. And I'm going to be as brief as I've been lately. I've been pretty brief. But I just want to get meat. Usually I try to get a word or a point in and then get out. So you can focus on that one thing. Ephesians chapter 3. And it starts like this. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That was given to me for you. So let's go back. Paul is the persecutor of the church. He's the reason that the church spread out and started teaching the gospel. He's one of the main culprits of the persecuting of the church, which made the church head out. Now he's been saved, sanctified, and now he's preaching the word he once persecuted and the people he once slaughtered. He's now doing the very work and facing the risk or the repercussion that he once stood behind. Come on. You know, God has a real interesting sense of humor. He's like, no, you know, I'm going to forgive you, but you're going to eat some of this. And so here you are. You're going to eat this, Paul. You went around killing and throwing people in lions' dens and persecuting and stoning people. You held their coats while they stoned Stephen. Okay. Now it's your turn. But now he is saying, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Now, what was given to Paul for them? Well, he said it's the administration of God's grace, but you know, that's cute. That sounds like a good opener of a chapter, but I just need you to understand something. And I want you to just pay close attention to this simple statement I'm about to make. These are letters. They were not written in chapter and verse. He didn't say verse 6, verse 7. When you write a letter to people, do you write chapter and verse? No. This was added later. Okay? They were straight letters. So he was speaking to people a continual flow of thoughts in this letter to this church specifically. If you pay close attention to Paul's letters, he picked churches and he addressed the issues of that church. If you look at the book of Corinthians, you see he's coming down on them very strong because that church had become super, super pagan. They actually had temple prostitutes. They were really like in it. Like, you know, they was like, let's keep all of the Roman goodness and sprinkle some Jesus on it, and away we go. And so Paul came at them in such a strong way that when people try to take that letter, now I come from churches back in the past where women can't wear pants. Why not? Because he said you can't wear pants and you can't wear earrings and you can't wear makeup and all. And it began, how many of you have experienced some of that? Right? And he was specifically speaking to the church of Corinth, again, who had temple prostitutes, and women came dressed up and with their makeup and stuff to get customers. And, you know, it was real. It was real out there in them streets. You follow what I'm saying? And so Paul was coming to institute to them. Women should not be adorned, he said, with the hair and the makeup and the lipstick, but to a heart that shows Christ. So he was saying to them, don't let your outward appearance be what you focused on. Let the inward Christ in you be what people see and what draws people to you. So he was not instituting a law to all churches that women can't wear makeup and you can't wear pants. And first of all, the pants argument to me, before I was a Christian, I used to debate with Christians, and that's why I never wanted to be a Christian, because I thought Christians were the stupidest people and the stupidest religion I had ever met, because they said stupid stuff like this. And I asked one guy, I was like, no, women should not be wearing pants. And I said, why? Because it's for a man. When this book was written, wasn't all of them wearing dresses? There were no pants when the Bible was read. They all had that long skirt looking thing. To me, they all wore dresses. The difference is the woman dressed hers up and probably tied a little bow and put little things on it. That's a woman's dress. And the man's thing looks like that. Still all dresses. Okay, in my opinion, all right? So my point is they were making this argument that women shouldn't wear pants off of a scripture that was not written when pants even existed. So it's the stupidity of it. So what's my point? My point is God in these books is speaking to each church concerning their need. Does he do that? Look at the book of Revelations. When he starts, in the church of this, I need to address this with you. And the church of this, I need to say this to you. The church of Laodicea, I need to say this. She was dealing with each one of them as they needed to be dealt with. Why am I making this point? Because God is dealing with each one of us. We are the church. Not collectively only, but individually. So God deals with each church in this house individually. There is a collective dealing, but God is more concerned about the individual relationship. Who would agree with that? He cares about you by name. Now, he don't look at you and say, okay, you, Joshua and Caleb Ministries. He says you, Ruth, Edwards, Mikey, Lindsay. He's dealing with each of us as individuals. He created us for fellowship. And so when God deals, there is a collective word, but primarily for him, it's an individual word. So why am I making this point? Paul says, here I am, a prisoner of Christ. Absolutely. That was God's choice for him. That don't mean he wants everybody in church to be prisoners. And I've heard people say, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And I'm like, I'm not. Him the Son makes free is free indeed. I can't be a prisoner and be free. Pick one. I choose the freedom. Thank you very much. When people say, well, Job suffered, I said, and Abraham did not. So I pick Abraham. You have Job. You choose the relationship you want to have with God. So he's saying, I'm a prisoner for the sake of you Gentiles. Why? Because I'm here to share with you the administration of God's grace, which is given to me. Now, take this with you. He's here to share the administration of God's grace, but he's a prisoner. But he's letting it be known, I'm here to share with you God's grace, but he's a prisoner. How many of you know what Paul went through in his life and walk? It wasn't fun. From one prison to another, to another, to another. People trying to set up traps to kill him on the way. All the stuff. And he is talking about God's grace. Listen to me close. From the perspective of, he wasted a lot of people's lives, but yet God still gave him the opportunity, though it be in chains, to save a bunch of people. So, are you with me now? So he's looking at grace from the position of what cards have been dealt to him based on what he's dealt out. Yes, that's God's grace, because God should have just wiped them out if God acted like he acted. You came against my people, boom. No, now you're the same guy who used to persecute my church are going to go from town to town, place to place, in chains, by my grace, to save and deliver families who exist that you killed their father and their brother and their mother. Now you're going to go witness to them the grace of God. But now he's identified the church of the believers And now he's identifying, but I have a different call than what you guys do, disciples. I'm called to the Gentiles. I'm here to now by grace, because I understand grace like none of you do.
Right, right.
Make sure you understand this.
Yeah.
I understand grace like none of you do. Make sure you understand this. Paul is was a scribe of scribes and a Pharisee of Pharisees. He sat in the high places. The Jews, in their mind, were entitled. Even when they walked with Jesus. Then they said, well, let me sit at your right hand, put him at your left hand. Oh, let's call fire down and burn everybody who don't agree with us. They were very entitled. It went with their culture. We are the people of God. We are God's chosen people. We get what we want. Let's wipe the people out we don't like. Let's, give this to them. Well, why should he get this? And her, who should have this? And everybody was jockeying for position to see who got to sit at his right hand and left hand, and even sending their mama to go ask for them. Come on. Entitlement. Now he's saying, I'm no longer entitled. I'm a prisoner by choice to now take this to a people, listen to me close, who receive this word without the spirit of entitlement because they've been left out. Aren't you glad for the grace of God?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into some meat. This was a good foundation. So he's talking about the grace that's given to me. We now get a big understanding of the grace that was given to him, right? We got a better understanding of that for you. The grace that I was allowed to experience for you. God spared me from judgment. Okay, let me make this one more point. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We do understand how God dealt with his enemies in the past, right? We've seen the scriptures and stuff, right? You see what he does, right? The stories all through the Bible what God does to the enemies of his people, correct? So now do you understand a little bit better why Paul is referring to this as God's grace, even though it's in chains? Because he could have been crushed by a big boulder or been beheaded wasn't Judas in his bowels gushed out. And, there's consequence that's real ugly for the people who came against the people of God. So for him to be in chains and able to share this word to the Gentiles, he understands the grace that was given to him. He has an understanding of how he was spared the consequence of his actions. And so who can teach grace better than this man who had come against the Spirit of God, seen him, got knocked off his horse blind, given his sight back. Wait a minute. Wasn't he just left him blind? And just said to him, you're going to Stevie Wonder your way through this. This is the way the rest of your life is going to be. But he did not. But you're going to serve me as a prisoner. Why do I keep hopping on this one verse? Because this is a man who understands law. He understands the grace of God. Yes, I'm in chains, but I should be killed like I had all these people killed and the people I once worked for all want to kill me now. And by God's grace, from going through this court to this place, to go from Rome, to go to here, to go to here, God's kept me alive by his grace so that I can give to you and explain to you that I do understand grace and now God wants it for you. Okay? Say, I receive the grace of God. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. See? As I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insights into the mysteries of Christ. This is what he was given to give to you, to me, to us, that we may gain insight and understanding into the mysteries of the anointing and the anointed one, which was not made known by to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit through God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery that is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. You didn't catch that. I'm going to read it again. He walked through this whole mystery. He said, this mystery was not known before, but it's been known, made known now to his prophets and to this generation. It's been revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles and prophets. This mystery that I'm talking to you about, he said, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are together heirs with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. This, I don't know if I'll get past this verse, what I just read today, because there's so much meat in this. Read it yourself, to yourself. Look at it. Pick it apart. Don't just let me just read to you right there. Look at it and see if you can see what's being said to you right here. Because this is so big. This is so huge. This is tantamount to everything we're called to in Christ, that if we miss this, we miss so much. That in reading this, which I'm asking you to do from verse 4, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mysteries of Christ. So say, by reading this, I expect to know and understand and have insight into the mysteries of Christ. What were the four words from before? Wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God. Right there in the Old Testament. Here it is right back again. You got this? You seeing this? Are you seeing this? He's saying that, Jesus, Lord, help me say this to them where they get it. That which we went over in the Psalms, wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, and we did a whole series on that. Keeps showing itself again. But it's not showing it now, Jesus, to intellect or understanding through the religion you study. It's showing it in the person of Christ and what he did for you by grace. You became an inheritor of it without having to work for it. You didn't have to be the scholar now. You didn't have to be the prophet now. You didn't have to be the person that sat. Paul was a studied, learned man. I need you to understand this. He was a scholar. I need you to understand this. He was a scribe of scribes and Pharisee of Pharisees. He had 2 degrees. He had 2 masters. No, this is real. But he's now saying, guys, guess what? What I studied and worked for so hard, I had this insight without the presence of God. I had it without the friendship of God. I had it without the relationship of God. I can quote a scripture up one side, down another. I can tell you what it said to do and what not to do, but I did not have God. And now, because I have this revelation and I realize it's by grace that I have it, I am equipped now to share with you what I studied for years and what I had to receive by getting knocked off a horse, that this is yours for free. This is yours to have. So when we think about the wisdom and the insight of God that he wants us to have, this is not something he's saying, I need you to study. He said, by reading this, if you receive it, you can have that. I don't have to read the whole Bible. He said, by reading this right here, just read this. And reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mysteries of Christ. So that means you don't say he works in mysterious ways anymore, if you can get the mysteries from reading this, which was made known to the people in other generations, was not made known to people in other generations, to people in other generations, but is now being made known to his prophets to you. Watch this. Which, and it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs according to Israel. That through knowing this and understanding this, you are heirs to Israel. Okay. How many of us understand Israel's position in the world? How many of you understand Israel's position in the world? You don't? You do know it's a power, right? You know it's a superpower, right? You know it's a force to be reckoned with in terms of all things. You know that America tries to bust its behind to be close to them because they don't want to be outside of the blessing of God, those who know. That's why they keep supporting Israel. So here's what you also need to know. Israel has to be the smallest state on the planet. If you ever go look at a map and look at, I did this years ago and I was mind blown. Israel is like the size of my finger, and then all of the Muslim countries around it would take up this whole area. And here they sit, this little speck, in the middle of hostility all around. Outnumbered in every direction, and they can't take them out. You know they want them out. Can't take them out. Don't have the power to move them. No, you're not getting this. We're talking about the grace of God here. It said even though man's forces seem to outnumber, if God placed you there, nobody can move you. It doesn't make a difference if you're outnumbered. It doesn't make a difference if the weapons against you are huge. He said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He's saying to you that if you receive and understand this grace, I, a Jew, have come to the revelation of to give to you, that you sit in the place of Israel.
Amen.
Same covenant, same right. I never heard Israel crying broke. They decided about 20 years ago, I think it was, to take the desert and then turn it into, what was it, orange, grapefruits, whatever? Fruit. They were going to irrigate the desert and grow fruit. And they took over the marketplace. This little speck of a place. And you would see it in the stores, fruit from Israel. And people were blown away. How did you do this in the desert? Because whatever they do, they expect to prosper because they understand the covenant that they have with God. They have that entitled attitude that we are God's people, so therefore what we do should win.
Yeah.
And we can pick a fight with somebody 50 times our size, we're still going to win. That's the attitude they have. Now, I'm not here to talk about whether that's right or wrong. That's not my point. My point is the church don't seem to have that attitude. You're still trying to pray and figure out how to get God to bless you. Instead of understanding, he's saying that this has been revealed, that if you understand this, you are in par with them. Through this, the Gentiles will be heirs together with Israel. Wait, the Gentiles will be heirs. Do we know what an heir is? Raise your hand if you know what an heir is. Okay, so that means you inherit something. Right?
Yeah.
Make sure I got this right, right?
Yeah.
You inherit something, yeah? That you worked real hard for. You didn't work for it at all. You just did it, got it because you were an heir. You're related. You're in the bloodline. So we're heirs together with Israel's. Members together, one body, and shares together in the promise. What's the promise? Oh, God, Jesus. All those Old Testament scriptures you read, blessed coming in and blessed going out, no weapon formed to come again. You know, 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. All of these promises to Israel, that God will favor you. He would hold you up in your hand, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He saved your tears and vow. Every hair of your head is numbered, even if it's a weave. Understand something. This is a God that cares so much about you that he's keeping things like tears and counting hair on your head. You don't care about how much hair you got on your head most of the time unless you're starting to go bald. And you definitely ain't trying to hold or keep track of your tears. So what kind of love is this that Israel receives, that God cares for them so watchfully and so gently and so like a nursing mother? And then he said, but that's yours.
Amen.
To a person who is in the place to understand it and teach it.
Amen.
See, any one of the apostles could have probably tried to teach this grace, but it wouldn't go the same. See, you had John who taught love. And you know, you had the different apostles talked about him from the point of view of a prophet. And another one talking about him from the point of view of a teacher. But this one had to come who never walked with them and didn't have that entitled attitude that they had because they were with him. He had to come after Christ, but he did have knowledge of what the law and the letter was. And he was able to say, this law and letter that we've worked for, we believe we earned because of our entitlement being the people that are Jewish, and now take the fact that I'm already that, and then I've also studied too, so I own all of this, and now the revelation has come to me that I got to say to you, listen close, that this is yours for free by grace. You know, people like to brag about their accomplishments. They don't like to tell you, and you can have what I have just for free because you accepted the Lord. See, this grace is huge. It's huge because, I don't know why somebody's calling me during church service. This grace is huge because if you don't get a grip on this, you never can obtain what God truly has for you. You can get a remnant here and a bill paid there and a blessing over here, here a blessing, there a blessing. But he's saying, if you understand the grace of God that was given to you, that I've come to share with you, this is what belongs to you. It's a mystery to anybody who studies for it. Paul was a man who studied for it, but he didn't understand it until he got knocked off his horse.
Jesus.
He couldn't teach it until he got knocked flat on his behind. He couldn't understand what it was like. Think about this. This man came out with an army. God, please help me get this to them. This man came out with an army to track down, round up, capture Christians, bring them back to have them put to death. He's there with his army. They got to be a big enough army to capture all of the believers, especially if there's a bunch of them. So at least you got to have more of them. They got to be armed. They got to have weapons. And he gets to control their movement. He's Big Daddy, right? Paul, no, he's the dude. He calls the shots. He's the head of the whole army. He can say, kill them all, bring them back, whatever you want to do. And with all of his assigned human power, position, weaponry, all of this, he gets knocked down by some light. Falls off his horse. And what does his army do? Who remembers? Yes, Jericho. They turned tail and ran from some light. But what does light represent? Illumination. Illumination came to Paul, and they ran. He no longer had an army. Somebody had to pick him up by his hand and lead him into a little dumpy motel until God sent somebody to lay hands on him and give him his sight. So for days, he sat there as hopeless as an old man with no power. Who came there? No, you're not catching this. Who came there with power? He came there to do a job in his own power. He got knocked on his behind. He got a different revelation. And now he's going, who are you? He said, why have you persecuted me? Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus who you persecute. We don't see him saying the sinner's prayer, but he got saved, didn't he? He got real saved. And now he's being sent to the people that he persecuted to bring them the message of grace, and now to now tick you off, because now I'm going to take the same message that you think belonged to you, because you was with Jesus. And I don't know if you know this, but there were places in the Bible where he clashed with the disciples. The disciples said, wait, what do you mean? Okay, we received this grace and all this, and you know, we're all fishermen and truck drivers, and you know, we average type dudes, and you shared that grace that we don't have to be Sanhedrin and we don't have to be Pharisees and scribes to have this grace of God. We can be, as average lay people, or people not considered of any high esteem, disciples of Christ. We got that. We like that. That's good. We even tried to sit at his left hand and right hand, the whole thing. Now here you come, after first you was killing us, then you get knocked on your behind, and now you so spiritual that you're going beyond our rules and you're going to take it and give it to the Gentiles? Wait, whoa, this is ours. And Paul said, no, but I'm called to them. And that's why he had that situation with Peter and Cornelius. And he lowered the sheet, take, eat. And he had all the fowls and the pig and stuff. And Peter said, never do I eat this, Lord. What are you talking about? He said, what I've cleaned, don't you call unclean. Then he sent him to a Roman's house to get that man in his house saved. Because that man was committed to finding God. So let me bring this home. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness or right standing with him, and all of this should be added unto you. Well, what is the right standing of God that we should be seeking? Listen to what I'm saying closely. Because I've said seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness all my life. But I had no idea how to find his righteousness. I knew that I got saved, so therefore I'm in right standing with you, right? Yeah. But what's the other righteousness that I'm supposed to be seeking? Stay with me. Stay with me. Because I'm about to tell on you. Because you all know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things to be added unto you, right? Yeah. So where's all the things that's supposed to be added? Because a lot of us ain't seeing all these things added. So then I got to say, okay, so then what righteousness am I supposed to be seeking? Because I'm supposed to be seeking first the kingdom of God so all these things will be added to me and I can see the things are not being added. I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about all things. Wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, all my needs met according to his riches and glory, all this good stuff. Where is that stuff? You said seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't know how to seek your kingdom. I can't find your kingdom other than the fact that you died for me. Okay, I got that. Okay, well, so what is this thing? And now I'm coming to the realization through the study, and the more I study, he's saying through my grace this stuff is given. It's been deposited. I've made you equal to Israel by my grace. It's not by your works. And even though you know it's not by works, you still keep trying to figure out how you can either intellectually receive it, how you can emotionally receive it, how you can take some kind of stand and receive it, how you can fast and give a big tithe and receive it, how you can do all kind of stuff to receive it, when it's something that's been given to you by the grace of God, that once you receive it, lest no man should boast. It is a gift of God. He's saying, I need you to be free from thinking on any level that you can earn my goodness. Any level. Any level. All the good stuff you do, all the good stuff that I do, we do that and should be doing that. Are you listening to me? Because we love. But the gifts from God are by grace. Every success, every victory is by grace. We do right because we love him and we want to do right by the person we love and care for. We don't want to hurt them. But we don't treat people right to get stuff. And that's what we've been taught. And that's what life teaches us. And every time I listen to somebody do their success story, oh, it was hard. And I worked hard. I slept 2 hours a night. I didn't go outside. I tried not to even breathe the air when I went out. I tried to breathe as little as I could because I wanted to pay the price to be successful. And I know it from experience, and I see it, and I watch these people, and I'm like, well, how come I have that success and I don't do any of that? No, you want to make it exclusive so you can keep everybody out. You want to make it your own little thing and sell your book. But the truth of the matter is, it's available to you the more you submit to God. He who keeps his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake shall gain not only life in this earth, but eternal life to come. He's saying, listen, I want you to get to the place that you just know how to seek me. Love me. Make me your priority out of love, not to get stuff. Just to have fellowship and love me. Don't count, like I said a couple of weeks ago, sitting there on my knees. Oh, it's not 15 minutes yet. I got to pray some more. No, I'm going to give God a whole hour today. Mm-hmm. And I'm staying there. My mind is thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch and what I'm going to do when I get out of this help. And in other words, it turned to a workout now. Like I'm trying to make sure I get the whole hour in the day. And God's like, just get up off your knees, bro. Just get up. Just get up. Because there's no love involved in this interaction. You're doing something as a service because you think somehow you're going to move my hand by what you make yourself sacrifice or put yourself through pain to have. Say this. Every gift and calling of God is mine today.
Now. Yes,
it's a free gift. So let me receive the gifts and let me do good because God has called me to do good and he has even put the ability in me to do good. Even the doing good is powerful. I was having a conversation, and I want to wrap it up on this. I was having a conversation with some people the other day in Florida, and we sitting around talking in Florida, and we were... and so we're having this conversation, and we were talking about racism and where it comes from. And I'm sitting there with a person who's Palestinian. I'm sitting there with a person who's France. I'm sitting there with a person who is, from Antigua? Okay. Different people, different places. So I'm sitting there, and we're having this conversation, and they're trying to understand racism. And one person's saying, it's fear. It's fear. Racism comes from fear. I'm like, not all the time. So sometimes it's just taught to you, and hatred is put into a child, and they hate because they were taught to hate, and they don't have any reason. There's no fear. And I explained to them when I had my hatred toward homosexuals because of the generation I was raised in, you know, I was taught they were all deviants, they were perverts, they were all trying to screw you, and they were trying to screw anything that was a male that came by. You know, I didn't think about them having relationships and this kind of stuff. My mind was, I was taught they were freaking perverts, and you should punch them in the mouth. So I wasn't afraid of any of them. I was ready to knock any one of them out if they looked at me wrong. That was the way I was taught. And by God's grace, as I grew in the things of God, it became like, who are you to decide which group is the most sinful group? Like, you know, and I was like, I didn't decide that. Somebody decided it for me. So I was saying, no, it's not hatred. It's a lot of times the motivation for this. And it turned into them trying to understand the logic of hatred. And I'm like, there's no logic to hatred. And I said something that shook the whole room up. I said, low self-esteem shows itself in many ways. And in our mind, we think low self-esteem is, well, I'm just worthless. I don't have nothing. And that's not true. Sometimes low self-esteem is very verbose. It's very arrogant. It's very, you know, we can name a couple of artists, Kanye, right? That this man is as successful as he can be. But you can listen to his conversations and see the stuff he does and know he has a self-esteem issue. It's very serious. We can see that, right? So it's not about being a loser and not being, you know, successful. And it has nothing to do with that all the time. Sometimes it shows itself in the most arrogant, forthright way possible. Yeah. Low self-esteem comes from somebody trying to build an esteem based on what man says about them instead of what God says about them. And as long as you're trying to build your esteem on what man says about you, it's always going to be low. Got that? It's always going to be low. As long as I need your approval, my self-esteem is going to be low. As long as I'm trying to please you, my self-esteem is going to be low. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when I say, God, let me please you and only you, and then let you being pleased with me rub off to somebody else, that's when you develop a healthy self-esteem. And that's grace. That's grace in its fullness. It's to understand that, God, you love me because you love me. And there's nothing I can do to change that. Now if I want to be more pure, I can. Because you love me anyway. Whether I mess it up or get it all right, you still love me the same. That's grace. And Paul is saying, it ain't about how much studying I did. It's not about how much I know scripturally. It's not about how educated I am or what seat of authority I have. I'm coming to the realization that this thing is a gift, and I'm going to what all of Israel would consider the lowest form of people and giving it to them because it's free for everybody. See, that's grace.
Right. Right. Amen.
That's grace. Grace is a gift from God that's yours because he said so.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. I am loved because you said so. I am pure because you said so. I am holy because you said so. I am redeemed because you said so. I am delivered because you said so. I am prosperous because you said so. I am healed because you said so. I am your righteousness because you said so. You got it now?
Amen.
And so this is what he's trying to convey. Guys, I got some experience about law. I got some experience about self-righteousness. And I've come to the understanding of what grace is. And I'm here now to give it to you. And if you can receive this grace, you stand in the same place of spirituality as his very own seed Israel does. And it's yours for free. And it's yours for free.
Amen.
Through Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.